Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh,
praise the Lord, everybody. I sure wish I had a voice to sing like Tamla Maine. My soul says yes. Wow. Is it anybody out there that has a yes down in their spirit? Hallelujah. When you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, there should be a yes somewhere. Hey, glory to God. My soul say yes this afternoon. Amen. We thank God for you tuning in once again to a time of reflection. I'm always excited about coming on this line, lifting up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If I was able to sing a song today, I would sing, Jesus, I'll never forget. Hallelujah. How can we forget what God has done for us? Amen, amen. We're looking every day for something great and wonderful and magnificent to happen. Amen. But if you could just focus on what he's already done, everything God has done has been wonderful. Everything he's done has been magnificent. Everything he's done has been glorious. Amen. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Woo! Glory, glory, glory. I get happy all by myself. Hallelujah. I don't need no praise team to pump me up. When I think on where God has brought me from, when I think, hallelujah, how he spared my life, when I think when I was in a horrible pit, yeah, glory, couldn't find my way out. Mama couldn't help me, daddy couldn't help me, but God, hallelujah, he reached way down. So I'll never forget what he's done for me. Amen, amen. I'm sure some of you all have not that same testimony, but you have a testimony. Amen, and we all have to experience God for ourselves. We all have to have our own testimony. I can't tell nobody else's story but my own. Amen, amen, because you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, glory to God. But I'm just thankful again, once again, to be on Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. And I'm always excited about our speaker that is going to be ministering to us on this afternoon. Amen. I've come to just love him so dearly. I appreciate him and just appreciate the God that is in him. And I appreciate how he's a people's person. Amen. And he just have that warm, embracing spirit. Amen. And he can communicate with anybody on any level. So we have come to love Bishop Patterson. Amen. Dr. Corinthians. Amen. The empowermentalist. Amen. So whatever he says he is, guess what? He has some signs and wonders to prove just that. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a part of God's kingdom? Amen. To be a part of the royal family. And that's what God wants. He wants us to get excited about seeing one another, about hearing one another, about greeting one another. You know, the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. But if you got something in your heart against your brother and your sister, you can't greet them like that. Amen. Never haven't had the opportunity to meet him in person, but his spirit and I has connected, I tell you, and I just feel like I've been knowing him all of my life. Amen, amen. So we're not going to prolong anything. I want God to speak through him what he has for our listeners on today. Amen. We know we have a subject, seek peace and pursue it, taken out of Psalm 34 and 14. But I never restrict our speakers, amen. So sometimes God can give them another word, and it's fine, they can do that. We just govern ourselves by a topic, a thought that the Lord dropped in our spirit, amen. So with no further ado, we like to present to some and introduce the others out. Speaker of the hour, and that's none other than Bishop Corinthians Patterson out of North Carolina. This is another Chicago native. We look like the Lord just blessed us there. Chicago is on the line every other week. And I tell you, I have met these wonderful men and women of God through Minister Billy Burns, and I tell you, God just know how to do things. Amen. Nobody can do it like him. So I'm going to ask Bishop Patterson to open up with the word of prayer. And however the Lord lead him on today, I pray that somebody will be blessed. Somebody will be empowered, because this is the empowered mentalist. Amen. So this is in your hands now, Dr. Corinthians. God bless
you. Yes, ma'am.
You.
Yes,
love
ma'am.
You.
God bless you, and thank God for you. And I'm just so excited. Soon we'll be meeting you, because we'll be coming to California. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come together, and I'm glad you allowed me to be a part of your life and your ministry. And thank you. I'm thankful that you're a part of mine. And my family also is looking forward to meeting you. And can you hear me good?
Yes, we can hear you real good. I just wanted to tell you that was a beautiful picture of your wife. Looked like the young bride that you married. Just beautiful.
Listen, I'm fortunate, and I got the best end of that deal, and God had mercy on me, and I thank him every day. Truly, those that know me, I've been excited about being married since I first got married, and we used to be in Tesla. I'm always testifying how good God has blessed me and completed my life.
All right.
And I do nothing to try to interrupt the flow that God has given me and interrupt the relationship. And so I'm excited daily, and I'm always being reflective on how I can not only make myself better, but enhance the life of my wife and my children. And if I get rebuked on anything in life, it would never be the way I've dealt with my family and my wife.
My God.
So I cherish her. She cherishes me also, but I'm more vocal. But I cherish her. And I'm still fascinated and taken and by her beauty and by who she is and her person. And her greatest attribute is her person. And you know, she's an awesome wife. She's an awesome mother. One of the greatest things that she is to me, she's an awesome friend. I wouldn't even think of trying to find a way to disrupt that flow of what I have. So I'm fortunate. I am blessed and highly favored when it comes down to that. Because all that we've been through, we don't argue. You talk and you raise your voice sometimes. But I've never in the heat of something ever told her to shut up. Raised my hand at her, never called her anything. I never had to apologize to her for what I've said to her, you know, in anger or any time. I've never, in 30 years, I've never had to, because I'm conscious of what I have and who I am and what she is to me.
My God.
The older I get, the more I realize how fortunate I am to have a person like her. Someone was asking us to say,
I can shout just on that. That's a message right here, Bishop.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, that's right up my alley. I love in our church, we're redoing everything with our church, and our emphasis is going to be on relationships, relationship with God, relationship with yourself and your family, and relationship with humanity. So relationships are better. That's what being saved is all about, having an intimate relationship with God. And then he gave us the marriage to show forth and to work it. That's our practice. Our marriage and our home with our children, our wives, our spouses and everything, that's our practice ground to get us prepared or to get us ready for the relationship and the lifestyle we have with God, not only on this earth, but eternally. And so I'm going to use my basic training. And this, my marriage is my basic training for my relationship with God. And how I pass. I'm going to pass with flying colors, I tell you.
I like that.
And I look forward to it. But let me say our prayer, and then we'll get into our teaching this evening. Father, we thank you for this grand opportunity to be able to minister with my dear sister. I thank you for connecting our spirits and connecting the ministries, and I just thank you for the joy of her considering me and counting me worthy to be able to have something to say on this vision that you've given her. Now bless her, strengthen her, and bless each of us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you all. And we just thank God. And you said something earlier that you don't restrict the various ones that come on the program. You want the Lord to lead us, but God has given you this.
Mm-hmm.
And God will lead us. And if we agree to what you're doing, you don't have to restrict us. We're going to do what God has given you. Now, if it's something else, I think it would be appropriate. And this is just my opinion. If it's something else that God has given me for the time, I would call you and say the Lord said that, and it would go that way. But other than that, this is, don't mean to sound carnal, but this is your show. So if I can't deal with what you presented to me, then I don't need to be on this radio. So I thank God that we can always be appropriate. Because, you know, if I go to a restaurant, don't serve me what you feel I ought to have. Give me what I ask for. Now, if I go to a restaurant and say, whatever's good, give it to me, then that's one thing. But if I tell you I want baked fish and you bring me out something else, then, number one, I'm not going to eat it. Number two, you know, I'm going to leave. So you just, somebody else going to have to eat it. So we just thank God for blessing us. Now, today you're talking about seeking peace and pursue it. I'm fascinated by the word, and I'm so elated that I was chosen today to do this. But when I went to the scriptures in Psalms 34, and I think the particular scripture is verse number 14. Let's read that. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I have to read 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And we can go on reading that Psalms. As a matter of fact, let me just read the rest of it. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they shall hate the righteous. The righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. I thank God for that word, but as we look at seek peace and pursue it, and one thing that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me in through the reading this word, that peace must be a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
Wow.
Now, there is. See, when we talk about seeking peace, you notice the scripture said, depart from evil.
Mm-hmm.
And many people are looking for peace, but they're not willing to make that change in their lifestyle. So peace has to be a lifestyle. And what is peace? Peace is a life without conflict, a life without dis-ease. See, there's no peace in your body when you got disease rampant through your body. If we talk about the extent of peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking, everything flowing harmoniously. We're talking about harmony, and that's what marriage is supposed to be. It's a situation that has been set up by God to get you to learn how to not only work on peace, but live in peace. For most of us, we got so much conflict. We do so many things. We listen to the world to tell us how we ought to live, how we ought to marry, how we ought to treat our wives. Everybody got something that they should do, something that's particular. And, you know, and the church looks more like the world than the church looks like God's body. And see, we got so many things that we let the world dictate how we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to marry. It used to be a taboo to be in a relationship and be sexual before you get married. Now it's a common thing, and everybody's doing it because we watch all the shows where everything is just acceptable. And then that spirit comes in the church. So now the church, the people in the choir, they're living together. Well, we haven't gotten married. They're having all kinds of children, got dogs, mortgages, and cars. And then they want to say, well, I was talking to a woman. I said, well, when are you all going to get married? I ain't marrying him. So you mean to tell me you'll get a mortgage with a man, a car with a man, have children by a man, but you won't marry him? You know, something is wrong there. And then the church has just allowed them to come in and function. Nobody's right now, the world has us to the point where we're afraid, number one, to make a decision on a person that comes in to worship the Lord. We're afraid to do certain things. So we got a lot of dissension in the church. There's no peace even in the body of Christ. Not the body of Christ, in the church, what we call the so-called believers. There's no peace there because there's such conflict.
Like.
So now it used to be a time where you had to be saved before you could even sweep the floor in the church. Now we got anybody doing anything just because they can do it, because that's your profession. You're doing it in the name of the church. And we just say, well, we got to open our understanding. No. There are certain things. There are certain benefits of working in the church. You have to be in the church. And that's, you know, and I guess I'm a little old-time, even though I'm a young man, I'm a little old-time when it comes down to that. You're not singing in the choir because you just came in and you can sing and you sung with whoever, it's Earth, Wind, and Fire, whatever. You have to be born again. Then they say, well, that's narrow-minded. You're going to miss people. I'm not going to miss God's favor because there's an anointing. That's what's wrong with a lot of places of worship, because we have people that have not the Lord doing things in the name of the Lord. So, you know, and it's going to break the flow and the peace that's in the church. But let's talk about this peace that should have. That peace, a lifestyle without conflict. And that's where we have to move to. And when we talk about conflict, we're not just talking about between people. There's conflict in our body and even in our minds. Many of us, even in confessing the word, there's conflict, because you say boldly, I'm healed, but inside you're saying subconsciously, I'm sick as a dog and I'm going to die. That's conflict. And see what would happen, and that's why many people never have the victory they want, because they say the right thing, but inside they don't believe. So what are you doing in that situation? Because they could get you in church and tell your neighbor, I'm healed. And you know you're feeling, you just got through throwing up. And you know you're sick, and you're sicker than you've ever been. And then you're trying to do it. You're trying to force yourself to say you're healed, and you're saying it every night, but all day you're sick. Now what should you do in that situation? Instead of, that's conflict. Now, instead of saying I'm healed, and if you got an issue, look, the word of God said that I'm healed. God, I'm believing, and I'm trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what's the difference? There is a difference. I'm believing you. God's word said, and you say to yourself, I'm healed, I ain't sick. No, how about you ain't sick? No. God's word said that I'm healed, and I believe God's word. And that's where our confessions are. God's word said this, and I believe that. But instead of saying you're not sick and you got your eyes bloody, your teeth almost about to fall out, you're limping, you're crawling, you're bent all over, I'm not sick. No. The conflict is there, because then when argument with your sister, it's just like a person saying, I'm prosperous, and you can't even pay your rent. There's conflict there. We're talking about getting rid of, we know we want peace. We don't want arguments, but we want peace where we can flow and really have things happen for us, because there's too many saints are dying of sickness, and we got too many services where we're praying for them, and they're confessing and healing, and they still die. There is a conflict in the mind, and the conflict is in the mind. So instead of arguing with yourself, say what the word says. Believe God, and don't say, I'm not sick. Say, God said, I'm healed. There's a difference. Because if you say you're not sick, and you can't even ride in the car for 5 minutes, but if you say, God said, I'm healed, then the expectation is set up in you, your subconscious mind, and your mind, and then you bring peace. So then there's not an argument. Who can argue with God said, I'm healed? But they can argue if you say you're not sick. And then you're arguing with yourself. So you got to have peace within yourself. So there's three aspects of peace. You got to have peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with man. We're going to talk about that. A peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with man. See, here's the thing. Guilt is a peace destroyer. So many people still are guilty about things that God forgiven them for. If you're still guilty, if you got resentment, you're destroying peace. If you're still feeling bad about something and you have not confessed it, and if you confess it, you need to take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Many of us still carrying things around feeling guilty when God has forgiven you. If you have not repented, then you ought to feel guilty. If you've repented, and if you've asked God for forgiveness, and you've made the steps not to repeat the act, there shouldn't be no guilt in you.
Because
who can lay a charge against God's elect? Now, notice here what they say, and people be saying that all the time, but God's elect carries the burden of, and it's a burden to those the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a burden to those that refuse to make the decision to do the right thing that's pleasing to God. Don't tell me you're God's elect and you're still living like Satan or falling to the passions of your life. Becoming victimized by your own low self-esteem. You know what God said about you, but you still feel what man said about you is more important. You don't have peace.
No, no.
Because if a man can tell you one thing and God has said, well, if God said you're the head, not the tail, and the man tell you you're the tail and not the head, and you believe the man, you couldn't have peace. So you have to peace. Guilt is a peace destroyer. So we need to learn how to confess. We have not confessed much. We've just stopped, many of us. We have not confessed. Because we say, I'm not going to tell no man anything. God has set it up where some person, man or woman, in ministry, is holding accountability for your soul, will be his catalyst to receive your confession. God has always placed a man in the life of those that was making the transition. It's in the scripture. When Paul was converted, the Lord could have took him on the desert and dealt with him. He said, no. He said, what will you have me to do? He said, go down there and I'll tell there's a sinful man, or I'll go down to see Ananias and he'll tell you what to do.
Come on.
When Cornelius was being changed and transformed, the Lord showed him in a vision, go send for Peter and he will tell you what to do. When the Ethiopian eunuch was in the desert, the scripture said, the man, he said, understand what thou readest. How can I unless some man
Jesus
deal with me? Cornelius gave the revelation, baptized him in the desert. Then God sent him to Zotus, 20 miles away. He did the disappearing act, and he ended up where he was supposed to be. So God has always set it up where man would be there. So many of us are trying to get away. Now the Catholic Church found out the importance of confession. They did a study some years ago, and they proved that. And it's not to validate anything, but they proved that the healthiest Christians were those that were of the Catholic faith. Why? Because they lifted their burdens by telling it to the priest, whether they paid for it or not. We don't confess anymore.
My God.
Because we're so proud, and that pride, we suppress. We don't confess. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We don't confess. Mm. We suppress. We push it down and hide it instead of getting rid of it.
Lord Jesus.
So then, if you want to have peace, you have to get rid of guilt. And the next sin is the peace destroyer. You can say, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And I don't care how many times somebody tell you it's okay, how many times people try to make you believe that what you're doing is right when you know within your spirit and you refuse. And one of the problems is we refuse to go to God. We want some man to tell us all the time what to do. Where my pastor said, what did the Lord say? Until you establish a relationship with God, and an intimate relationship, you will never be the saint that you are called to be.
I see.
It's just like I've been married 30 years, and every now and then I got to call somebody to tell me what to do. All right, I got my wife here. What should I do? I got to call somebody. No, fellas, you better figure this thing out, and you better work at what you've grown to know and figure out what's the best thing, whether it's cooking a meal or intimacy, whatever. You can't be calling nobody.
All right.
And that's the way it is with God, because when you're by yourself, I don't care how much we have, because, you know, the world has encouraged us to cut down on the time in church. Now you only go get an hour, 30 minutes on church on Sunday one time a week, and people really feel justified. How can you worship an awesome God? How can you be in total relationship with a God that's powerful and all-knowing, but you can't know him unless he's revealed to you? And he said, how can they know me except I send a preacher and has to be sent? Now, the world told us we go to church too much, but you could spend all day at a baseball game, you'll be at a football game, you can watch your favorite show. You look for, many of us look more to seeing scandal, I just use that, and I'm not against scandal, than we do look forward to being on Sunday to hear what the Lord had to say.
That's right.
So I'm not preaching against scandal, but you got to, you know, the question is, we have to be careful what entertains us.
Come on.
Because now that's one of the things we're going to talk about. So guilt has to be destroyed. Sin is a peace destroyer, and contention is a peace destroyer. The saints, I don't know why the body of Christ feel that we got to argue with everybody. The Bible says seek peace. Follow peace with all men. Ooh. All men include everybody. So why you got to argue with somebody on a job or whether to be baptized in Jesus' name or not? Why you got to argue with somebody whether you should speak in tongues or not? Don't argue. You're just a witness. You can tell me, well, you don't need to be baptized. Just, well, I was, so I'm good. You don't need to speak in tongues. Well, I do. It's not appropriate anymore. Well, God must think a lot of me because He give it to me all the time. So, I do. And if he don't want you to have, see, we'll spend time being contentious about everything. We arguing about everything, and those that even in the Bible, those that were arguing and fussing, they end up. One man talking about, man, people, you can't let down the standard. John the Baptist, he just told it like it was. Yeah, John the Baptist had his place, but John the Baptist lost his head. Are you willing to lose your head?
All right.
But see, John the Baptist had a purpose. He was just a voice crying in the wilderness. But then it was time for the transition for the Messiah to come, so John the Baptist had to lose his head, his authority.
Hmm.
Because it wasn't about John. He was just a witness. So then, you know, we're talking about peace. Like the scripture says, seek peace. Pursue it, as we said. And the Bible said, ask and it shall be given. We need to ask God for peace. We need to ask Him to show us. But peace has to be a lifestyle. The scripture said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. If you seek peace, the Bible says you'll find it. So you have to be in the mindset. Even many people are in contention and they're in conflict because they have so many conflicts within themselves.
Like,
because they have problems with whether it's in the home, in their body. See, sometimes people are not mean just because they don't like you. They may be going through something.
All right.
And whenever there's a conflict, you will never have peace. Some people are racist. I'm here to say, this is a commercial, no racist. I don't care what the premise is. No racist will have a seat in the kingdom of God.
I believe that.
So I don't care how much money your father, your mother, your auntie, or me, ma, or mother put in church. I don't care what she's done and how many times. If she was a racist, she hated somebody because of the color of their skin or the sound of their voice or where they were living. Me, ma, my dear, grandmother, all going to perish at a place where haters go. You cannot have peace within if you have conflict within dealing with people's lives. You cannot have peace. Now let's go to the book of Romans. Because, see, the peace, it has to be a lifestyle. So I know we have a restricted amount of time. I think we have an hour. We had an hour. So Romans 14, let's go there. Go Romans 14 chapter. That's the thing. Because when we talk about peace, and then we're going to start at it because we went right to the 14th verse in the book of Psalms, but really the first verse is where we really should start because it starts talking about lifestyle because you cannot have a lifestyle of peace without living for God. You cannot have a lifestyle of peace without living for God. Now, I don't care. We try to be nice. That's one thing to be nice. But if you and see, here's the thing, people, and we can't judge what your conflict is. But if God has exposed you to that, this is wrong to do, and you decide that you're going to do it anyway, you got conflict. If you don't know it, but you're trying to hide, if you're trying to hide doing something, you got conflict. That eliminates peace altogether. Look at 14th chapter, verse number 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now notice, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. What is righteousness? Living right or doing things in the right godly way. The kingdom of God is righteousness. And we try to get peace, but you cannot get peace without righteousness. Now, you can be nice, but being nice is not being at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at verse number 18. He said, for he that in these things serve Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. If you do things righteously, not only God will accept you, but men will approve you. Now, some way we got lost in translation.
Mm.
Now, Jesus told him that men are going to hate you for my sake. But God said that when a man ways please God, even his enemies would be at what? Peace with him. We think because we're saved that we got to be in conflict with everybody walking around in him. You know, if you make me mad, you can't witness to me. If you get on my nerves, you're not going to be able to sell me nothing on what you're selling.
Right.
Like the scripture said, greet your brother with a holy kiss. Many of us greet our brother with a holy, with an unholy bite. We're biting and devouring one another. You try to show yourself to be saved by making everybody else angry. And you want to say, well, see, they just don't like the Holy Ghost I have. I wouldn't like the Holy Ghost you have either with the way you're living. We're not to be, and see, somebody got a narrow approach on things, and they think we always have to be in conflict with everybody. Just because sinners and sinners, it's not against you, so why are you mad at a sinner? No man comes to God except he draws them. So the person that you're angry with, God didn't draw him yet. So how dare you start some mess?
Wow.
The Bible said, for he that in these things, that do things righteously and serve Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So all this protest and every time somebody doing something, we want to fight about it. Well, we standing up for God. You ain't said God didn't ask you to fight for him.
My.
God told you to be a witness. He didn't tell you to be his attorney. An attorney argues your case. A witness just tell the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me God. I don't have to argue with men, going to men's meeting, argue with men whether they should be with one another or not. All I'm a witness is God saved me. He gave me a wife. I love my wife. I love women. Plain and simple. I ain't got to argue with you. I ain't got to protest. And this one church is protesting everything, talking about American people are dying because of the homosexuality. That's the biggest lie ever told. Sodom and Gomorrah would still be here if Abraham was able to find 10 righteous people. God would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 10 righteous people there. But the indictment on Sodom is that there weren't enough people there, enough saints there to come back judgment. Now, that's in the Word. He said, started with 15. He said, if I find 10, then he couldn't find 10. He said, all right, Lord, do what you want to do. Then he delivered Lot. But if you think about it, Sodom would have been saved. Because you know what God did? He sent Abraham to save him the first time. Because when Abraham fought before, when they took Lot, he went and saved the king. Then the king tried to give him something. He said, I don't want nothing you got. Because I don't want you to say that God made me rich, that you made me rich. Not God, but you made me rich by me saving your people. Give my men what they need to go, and I'm going to. So God had a saving plan out there. But you know what the indictment was? There weren't enough righteous people. Now, why are we arguing about everybody? The Bible said that men are going to be, and you got to be at peace, because the Bible said in the last days, they will be given in marriage, they will be lovers of themselves. So who are we to think that we're going to change the last days? You got that much Holy Ghost to change the last days? That God has already prophesied and set it in place? I would strongly suggest you to be at peace, be a witness, and mind your business. We can't let the world going to hell. No, it's not. And if you're going to hell with the world, then you're not saved. We've spent a lot of time arguing things. That's why we don't have peace. And then we get up and argue and fuss and get all involved and stuff, and then we want people to come and be saved still. It's just sort of like somebody punching you in the face and they tell you, come on to the house for dinner. That's not going to work. So we have to understand that if we live in favor with God, then we would be at peace. And we got to have peace. If we're not going to do things the proper way, we got to live in a peaceful way. And so in verse number 19, it talks about, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith we may edify one another. What are those things that make for peace? Taking away the judgment out of your life about people. Not having an attitude about people and what they're doing. Somebody wearing something and they're not in your house is none of your business. We get mad at people because they decide they have the personal courage to wear things that we don't wear, or we say they look like a sinner. What are they? Instead of the church being around here, instead of the church being at peace, and I'm not telling nobody, no, we can't just let the world. No, the Bible did not send us here to destroy the world. That's why he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together.
Hallelujah.
And he said the husbandman or the master would come and separate. So now if somebody asks you about what you think and what you believe, then by all means, you give your opinion. And you stand for what is righteous. But you don't have to go out and initiate no fight. Because you're saved. Saved don't give you the right to say, God, I don't, you know, we've gotten crazy. You know, the more majority and all that kind of stuff. God never intended for the church to try to run this political system.
That's it.
When the disciples was asking Jesus during that time, when are you going to take over?
Mm-hmm.
He said it's not time yet. The Father had that time when, because he was saying that when is Israel is going to take over the world and take away Roman rule. The Father had put that time. That's in the book of Acts where he said, look, it's not in your power to know that, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost and you shall be a witness.
Glory.
So he didn't send us in here to take over the government. That's Caesar's rule. Let render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God.
That's Bible.
And so then we get mad because, you know, you got to be at peace. You get mad because President Obama says so. He's not the bishop of the United States.
Mm-mm.
He's the president of the United States, of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Should we kill everybody that don't agree with us? That's what a lot of Muslim countries do.
All right.
We talk about them, but then we want to do the same thing. If you're going to be at peace, you got to let people live. You got to let your life live godly so that it can be a witness, so people can say, I want to be saved. And they can ask, like on the day of Pentecost, what must I do to be saved? Then you can give your opinion. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm just trying to hit out of these points so we can have time for questions only. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 12.
Mm-hmm.
It said, wherefore lift up thy hands which hang down in the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, verse number 13, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men.
All men.
And what does all mean? And they just talking about follow peace. And we can't even get along with the church because you got the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecost, the Orthodox Pentecost. You got the Church of God in Christ. You got all this. We don't even have peace with one another. Follow peace with all men and holiness. See, that's it. I'm telling you, peace is a lifestyle. Holiness without which none of those groups will see the Lord.
Come on.
So while we try peace, you can't get peace if you're not peaceful within yourself and you're not at peace with God. Your lack of confession will keep you in conflict with God. Your lack of understanding of God's word will keep you in conflict with yourself. And no peace with God, no peace with yourself, you cannot have peace with men. But it said, follow peace with all men, Muslim men, gay men, ugly men, fat men, skinny men, black, white, blue, whatever, all men. Because if you're striving to please God, you think God, and if God made me black, and I am really black, I don't know if you see my picture or whatever, but I'm really black, almost black as they come. If God made me black, why should you have a problem with me being black? If God made you white, why should I have a problem with you being white?
All right.
That's not God. He made me this way.
All right.
I'll never forget, I was telling my children, I said, when we were young, you know, we were coming up back in the 60s and 70s, when somebody would call me black, I would get upset. Oh, boy. One day I was in the mirror brushing my teeth, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, ooh, I am black. And I never had a problem again. And I was a young boy. I never had a problem. So when somebody called me black, I'm like, thank you.
All right.
Even though they had it as a negative, that was the truth for me. So until I came at peace with myself, I was ready to fight.
Come on.
Once I bought the fact that this was a reality for me, not only was I black, but all my mother had 8 children. 7 of us were a year apart. Every last one of us was the same shade, same tone. So how can I get mad?
All right.
But I had to be at peace with myself before I could come and be at peace with men. So in verse number 15 in that 12th chapter said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, did not tell you it was a lifestyle, and it's an inside job. You can't be bitterness and have peace with people. Some people treat you bad because they feel bad themselves.
All right.
Some of them look funny at you because they're funny looking, but you can't take it personally. Bitterness, rise up and it defile you. Then verse number 16 said, lest there be any fornicators. I told you it was a lifestyle. See, we want to have peace, and we want to do what we want to do, but I want to be nice with everybody. No, you cannot have peace if there's dis-ease inside of you. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. What made Esau profane? He did not value what he has. And most of us don't value the spirit that God has given us. He had the birthright, and his greed sold it. His impatience sold it. He felt that, now if you saw your brother, if I saw my brother in the field, there's no way I'm going to die. Even if I would have ate him, I wouldn't have died. So what made him think he was supposed to die?
Because
if I was starving and you had something that I wanted, I'm going to take it from you, or I'm going to take you and set a fire out there and cook me some of you. But he didn't have the foresight or the insight that he profaned it. He didn't have a, and then the Bible said, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright?
Sold his birthright.
Most of us sell our birthright. We have a right to be healed, but you sell it off for what the doctor said. You sell it off for what somebody said. You sell it off because your mama had this. And because society says this, you have a right to enjoy the healing power of God, but you sell it off because of public opinion.
All right.
Verse number 17, for ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, and that sounds like many of us, he was rejected for he found no place of repentance. That's lack of peace. You don't think you've done nothing wrong. You just feel justified. Well, I'm saving. I got a right to do this. You found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And, you know, we're good at that. Crying, oh, Jesus, nothing. You got to repent. You got to stop the lifestyle that you've been living because God is calling for holiness.
Oh, Jesus.
And see, what we see is that if you're going to have peace, you must have a lifestyle. And let's go back to Psalms for a few minutes. Let's go back to Psalms 34, and let's go to verse 1, because it gives you. Now, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. So what he's saying, I would live righteously. If you're going to bless the Lord at all times, you're going to live righteously. That's blessing God. To live rightly, to be patient, to do the things that propagate the Holy Spirit in your life, that's blessing God. Saying the right thing and having the right attitude and treating people properly, that's blessing the Lord. That's the all-time blessing. That doesn't mean walk around here saying, thank you, Jesus, everything, every time somebody says something, in the Lord, that's okay. You want to do that. But that's God's not asking you to do that. Don't do as much telling me about your value in Christ more than you showing me your value by your action, your attitude, your disposition, the spirit that you walk in a room with. Instead of coming in judgmental, people will never follow you the way you judge them.
So true.
And see, my consciousness shall always think in terms of God for all things, and that's my soul shall make her boast, and the humble shall be hear thereof and be glad. So my soul, my consciousness, the who I am, the real me, shall always think in terms of God. That's making boast.
Mm-hmm.
That's bolstering the fact that God is in my life by the things that I think and do. That's bolstering the fact that God is with me. That's the way I live, the lifestyle I live when I walk. Not, you know, when I dress, once you get to a certain point, I'm not saying you can't wear gym shoes and all that kind of stuff, but you dress still. One time, and this was a compliment to the spirit that's within. One time my wife and I was in Chicago early in our marriage, and we were walking through a store on the west side of Chicago. And I had on some gym shoes, which I very rarely wear. And the man looked at me, and I was dressed, you know, kind of bummy, like I was just, it was a silent. He said, "You are a man of God." And I was a young man. I got excited. I said, "Well, you know, how do you know?" He said, "I can see a seal that's on your forehead." That seal that I see, and he said, "You don't know I'm a prophet of the Lord. It tells me that you have been sealed by God, and God has deemed you as one of his, and he got work for you to do." I could have shouted all over the store because, you know, you see people, because I've had people see me walking and I've had a coat on and a top hat and somebody, "Hey, player," you know, I stopped getting insulted, but that's what they equate things with, because you sob, they call you a player. What preacher want to be called a player?
All right.
Or they use terms like, "Hey, pimping," you know, who wants to, anybody don't want to be no pimp, they had pimps and we've gone and they still got them now, but who wants to be considered a pimp when you're a man of God?
That's right. They got them out there, preacher.
You know, so you know, it's something. That's why I told Evangelist, Evangelist, don't let me see you on Preachers of L.A. I know you got that's enough. And don't let me. I won't see you because I don't watch it. She said, "I promise, I can have my own reality show with my own lifestyle. I don't need to be on
that." That's what I told you.
So, you know, and then verse number 3, it said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Oh, enlarge in your perspective with me." Okay.
That's good.
Let's think more on in terms of him, and let's live based upon him. Let's learn more about him. Let's ask him of himself. God, show me more of him.
Already. Jesus.
Moses asked God to see his face. He said, "You can't stand to see my face. I'll let you see the hind part of me." But I'm not asking to see God's face, because I'm going to see it when the time is right. But Lord, show me your grace in a greater magnitude. Let me see who you are. Let's show me who you are. And show me your love through me. Let me be the person that be your arm, your leg, your hand, your bank. I want to be God's bank. So if God give me money to give to somebody, I want to be God's bank.
Hallelujah.
That's in enlarging your perspective of him with me. And let us do it together. Because you can't magnify God. You can't make him bigger, because he's as big as big. As big is a word that can be described of him. But he can. Your perspective of him can be enlarged by you having more peace in yourself, eliminating the judgment out of your life, and seeing God and knowing that God life, the God life is in all humanity. Everybody has not accepted Jesus as their Lord, but the God life is in them. That's why an evil man can do some good things. Because the God life is in him. Because they asked Jesus, he said, "When I was sick, you didn't visit me in the hospital. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in jail, you didn't visit me." He said, "Lord, when were you in jail?" He hadn't been put together for crucifixion yet. "When were you in jail? When were you hungry?" He said, "No, it wasn't necessarily me, but when you do things to the humanity." He didn't say the saints of God. He said to humanity. We think it's only appropriate to help the saints. You got a conflict there. Humanity is God's doing.
All right.
And when you're kind to people and tenderhearted, and when you show the mercies of God, then you glorify God. So you want to preach, be kind to somebody. I'll never forget when we lived in Philadelphia, Mississippi for a minute, and we used to go take the family to a Pizza Hut. We went in Pizza Hut one time, and it seemed like every person that was, every man that was effeminate, every man that was gay, was working in the place. Now, I built my kids up, "We're going to go get pizza." So we go and get pizza. So when I went to that, the first thing I said, "No, I'm getting out of here, because I have a son and a daughter and a wife. I don't want to be in this mess." The Holy Spirit asked me plainly, what are you doing? And I had to stop, and he said, how can you witness? So I went on in there and sat down, and I sat down, and the fellow came, and then I had to adjust myself because I had my kids, my young children, my family. I had to show an example of love. So they said, well, can I help you? And I said, well, yes, what's special today? And then we went on. So I began to talk, and then my spirit got easy. Not that I was comfortable, because I'm not falling nobody to bed. Because here's the real deal with God. A homosexual is just as bad as a heterosexual that lacks self-control or sex control. We categorize things. That's no justification for the act. But God hates sin. He don't hate the sinner. And if I'm going to be an agent or an instrument to change somebody's life, then I have to not come in with judgment. So when I was sitting down and then I talk with them and then, you know, they laugh. It's because we got to live in this world. This is not heaven here. Because if it was, we wouldn't see all this stuff. We have to show grace and love. So after that, you know, after we got through, came down to the bill, they said, look, we got this. This is on us. Because they were not used to people treating them with respect. And this was 7 years ago, so it was really a hot bed item then. And come to find out, years later, some of them would come to the church. They would come and visit. They would sit down. They would pay tithes in the church. They would do whatever. They would get prayer. When some would go on, they'd go prayer. When some would go down, you know. But you're touching people's lives. But I said, Lord, help me. I didn't want to go in there, you know, make it up, because who is the church for? But it's two people that the church is for. Number one, it's a place for the saints to come together to learn about God, to celebrate, and to magnify and glorify his name and to build themselves up. Number two is for the sinners to come and get saved.
Mm-hmm.
What sin is not savable? And if you, what we used to call ourselves, a saving station, who can't come in to be saved? So that's something that we have to deal with. And then verse number 4 said, let them be confounded and put to shame. No, I'm sorry, 35. And number 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's one of the peace destroyers is the spirit of fear. Some of us are afraid to die. We're afraid that we're going to lose. We're afraid we're not going to have enough money at the end of the month. We're afraid we won't lose weight. We're afraid of the doctor, we're afraid of the dentist, we're afraid of the mechanic, we're afraid it's going to cost so much. You got so much fear that you build on, and you be the first one hollering, hallelujah. The scripture said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You cannot have a sound mind if you got conflict and if you have judgment in your heart. You cannot have a sound mind if you're thinking opposite of what God has said. You cannot have love if you allow hatred, the venomous words that we say, to destroy not only people, but the saints. So this peace and pursuing it has to start inside with your lifestyle. Then it flows into the outside. Then go to verse number 11. We're almost down to our verse, and then we'll be done. Verse number 11, it says,
all right, Bishop.
Come ye
right
children,
here.
Hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, this was so powerful. I was teaching a series, just got off the series, a teaching on the seven pillars of wisdom. I think the third pillar, and we go into the verse in the chapter of Proverbs. The first Proverbs 9, I'll turn that quickly, so I don't want you all to but I'll turn that quickly. And it starts off, and it says, wisdom have built her house. She have hewed out her seven pillars. I was just doing a series on it that we record and have CDs or whatever. She had built us seven pillars. Then what explains the seven pillars? The first question I asked, what was the seven pillars? Then in the eighth chapter, verse number 12 through 14, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. That's number one. And find out knowledge and witty inventions. That's number two. The fear of the Lord, here's how it breaks down number three. The fear of the Lord, it said the fear of the Lord, and that's what I'm talking about, teach me not to fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, number one, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So many of us say we want to be at peace. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and a froward mouth. You cannot say anything. And many of us think because we're saved, we can. I remember some of the meanest women that were in the church, and some of the meanest people that were in that were calling themselves saved within the church. They'd have that starch looking. They had that. We were children. We were afraid to go to them. They were so mean, and they called that you had the Holy Ghost and you were saved. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You done ate some hot pepper, some cayenne pepper. The Holy Ghost is mild and treated and pine and sweet. Who told you that because you were older and saved that you had to be mean and scare children?
Come on.
That's not the law. Going back to 34, it said, verse number 34, it said, what man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? What man is it who desires life and to live long and to see good while you're alive? You got to have peace. If you're going to have a good life, you got to get rid of it. So before we leave, the third pillar, the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil. And see, if you're going to have peace, you got to feel the right thing. But you know what? We are entertained by evil now. The things we used to frown at, we enjoy.
Ooh.
The pride. We think more of ourselves. Oh, somebody. See, here's the thing. Nobody is better than you. You're not better than anybody.
All right.
You may have a different discipline, but you're not better than anyone. I'm saved because God counted me worthy. I'm worthy, but I'm not better than you. Because what's going to happen when God saves you? Does that make you better than me? No. That's arrogance that the saints feel just because we say we got it right. But then you can sin. They asked some preachers one time, they said, what's the difference between a saint committing adultery and a sinner committing adultery? Well, a saint can repent.
What?
And the sinner's still going to go to hell. No, the saint ought to know better.
Yes, Lord.
So they said, how is it that we that have been dead to sin live in sin any longer? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Some things the scripture talks about, let not be named among you once, and one of them was fornication. You shouldn't hear about me having relationship with, and I'm talking about being peace. Some churches are disrupted because of people. You shouldn't hear about me as a pastor leading people to having relationship with the women in the church.
That's right.
You shouldn't hear about me dishonoring and manipulating people for the money in the church.
Mm-mm.
You shouldn't hear me betraying the people and how people do things for the sake of the gospel and coming. People depend on you because God has placed you there, and you disappoint them, and you preach on their issues and embarrass them and not love them and don't have time with them. See, the only problem with many of our mega ministries. And I don't have a problem with it because as we continue to bless the Lord and grow, we're going to grow, but you're going to do certain things. The only problem I have is now people are not getting pastored.
All right.
They're so glad to have superstars, and nobody's dealing with them because who are you going to confess to? You don't even confess anymore. Who are you going to talk to about your problem? You just better figure it out in the sermon or get one of his books. God said,
yes,
I gave
sir.
You pastors for the perfecting of the church. He wants us to touch it. We see you as God. If I'm going to be in God's stead, you should be able to touch me. One of my friends in Chicago, he was saying he was trying to get an appointment with his pastor. And him and his wife were having trouble. They had to wait 6 months before they get an appointment.
My God.
Man, in 6 months, you could have been divorced, remarried, and pregnant with another child.
Yes, sir.
This is not how God wanted his church to be. But he wants us to make ourselves available. Now, if a pastor has a growing ministry, in which I tell my church, we're not a small church, but we're a growing church. As we grow, you put things in place so that you can facilitate having people. Moses, when he got the people together, he said, look at those over 1,000, those over 100, those over 10,000. So you got to put things. It's not just all about what I'm doing.
Right.
So you have to have peace. And a lot of people not at peace in their church. I'll say to anyone, if you're not at peace in your church, you're in the wrong church.
My God.
So God wants us to have peace. So in verse number 12, it said, what man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? He that want to live good, what did he tell him? And that's why I tell you it's an inside job. Keep your tongue from evil. Thy lips from speaking guile. So many of us are overweight. Many of us have heart trouble. We have ulcers and stuff because we run our mouths too much. If God can ever save your tongue, and if he can ever save your mouth, And what do I mean, God saved? If you gain control over what you have to say and how you say it and who you say it to, your life would be so much better. Many of us, we can talk ourselves into victory, or you can talk yourself to death. Some people are talking themselves to death. They always complain about, I'm sick. You don't have peace. I'm sick. I'm dying. I ain't going to live that long. I'm expecting to live. I'm telling you, I'm expecting to live to 150, and I'm saying it every day. I'm changing my diet. I'm exercising. I'm changing my mindset. I'm changing my thoughts, and I'm changing what I say. Can I live to 150? Yes, I can. Methuselah lived 900 and something. Then one preacher going to tell me, well, the Lord said, with Paul, and then when somebody was talking about it, you get 70 years, if it's by reason of truth, you get 80. I said, when they came out of the Noah's Ark, God said, I'm going to let man live 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the way medical science have changed, the doctors are saying there's no reason why all of us can't live at least 100.
All right.
But if we change our diet, we change our eating habits, change our movement, and then for God's sake, change what you have to say and think.
Mm-hmm.
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips, because he said if a man want to live good, live long, and see good, he would shut his mouth. Now, we're talking about peace. Mm. Change what you say about people.
Change what you say about folks.
Watch your mouth. What you have to say is important. You got to change what you have to say. Look at Ephesians 4:25. Go a little bit New Testament, and then 1 Peter, and then I think our time is getting close to end. Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, we spend a lot of time, we talk, and there ain't nothing worse. You know, when you go to bed, when you're evil, when you're mad, somebody said something bad about something, you get up in the morning, it's worse. It has festered in your conscience. The Bible said, let not the sun go down in your wrath. And then it goes on, let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Number 29 said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may do what? Minister grace to the hearers. When you're angry, you should be able to minister grace to those that hear you, because you are a grace minister. We've been called to the ministry of grace because we have the grace giver, Jesus Christ as our Savior, into our lives. So everything that we have to say, even in the heat of when we're mad and angry, if you're angry and you can't say the right thing, say nothing. Because you can't be held accountable for those idle words if you never said anything. And then we got to come back and we feel so good just because you apologize. You say something to me and apologize. Yeah, it may get things over, but they don't change what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling some men, I said, look, people, Jesus remembers what others forget. We know that. Wives remembers what husbands forget. You say something to a woman, it ain't going nowhere. She going to remember it. Why, he didn't say, oh, girl, I didn't forget all about it. Yeah, you forgot all about it, but you said some things to hurt me. So you got to watch how you talk to the people. And it all starts at home. We want to treat the saints right, but at home we treat our wives and our children and our husbands like dogs.
That's right, Bishop. You preach.
You can't have no peace if you're cutting up at home and then getting, as soon as you got out the car, y'all been arguing all the way to church, and then you come out, praise the Lord, praise nothing. Get back in that car, go back home, and you all need to pray and repent, and you need to change.
My God.
You know, this salvation is a lifestyle, and we need to let it work in every aspect of our lives, on the job, in the grocery store. Some of you be arguing because somebody stepped in front of you, ready to fight.
That's right.
Somebody do something, and a lot of times it's not intentionally, but sometimes it's intentionally. I'm not going to let no one antagonize me as a man or a child of God.
Mm.
Because if I can push you over, then I'm stronger than you. Look at 1 Peter 2:21. That would be our last scripture. And we're going to follow peace. If you want to have peace, you want to live right. Because people don't have no peace because they got dis-ease inside of them.
Lord have mercy.
1 Peter 2:21-23. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Let me make sure I'm in the right one. Christ also suffered for us. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
My God.
His mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But committed himself to him that judged righteously. So the main thing, the point I'm bringing here, when he was reviled, he reviled. Now, many of us talk about we got to fight for ourselves. Your lifestyle is not a conviction to people as much as your judgment that you have on them. Your lifestyle, it says, I don't say anything to you, but you want to tell everybody what you feel. And they walk around here looking. See, some of you women are mad at other young women that can wear certain things. You can't wear it anyway. If you weren't saved, you wouldn't be good. You're going to get mad at somebody. She's wearing them high heels. You know if you put anything over an inch, them ankles of yours or that knee of yours is going to buckle. So ain't no sense you getting mad at nobody because they're wearing 5 or 6 heel inches. That ain't got nothing to do with you.
That's right.
She wearing that tight dress, or he wearing that tight suit. If I put on a suit like my son, I look funny. And if you got a body, there ain't no sense. You wearing no body shirt, and you sitting up here mad.
Right.
And here with them body shirts on. She got on that tight dress. You know, if you put on that tight dress, it's gonna show some things that shouldn't be shown. Should nobody see. So ain't no sense in us judging people because they have a freedom. And if the saints would ever learn a lesson, mind your business, we would have more effect on people's lives because people want to know your peace. Because see, there's some things that surface, and there's something when people will come to you when they know you have the love in their heart. They know you have the favor of God. They know you are nice and kind. But every time they walk by you, looking at them, look at them, just switch it. You know you can't switch because you throw that left hip out of socket and you'll be in the hospital for about 5 days. I'm telling you. So now we need to stop the judgment. I ain't trying to make y'all laugh, but now we need to stop the judgment, and we need to start living as if God walked in the room.
All right.
Would God come in the room throwing shade on people? Would God come in the room? You're talking about peace. The reason why we don't have peace because we're not peaceful. Would God
My
walk
God.
In the room making people feel convicted? The conviction would come on them because he's holy, not because of what he said. Remember when the disciples walked in the room and the demons began to cry out? And when Jesus came in and they began to cry out, why come to torment us before our time? He just walked in the room and he told them to get away from here, depart. But you walk in the room talking all over everybody. So-and-so, you know so-and-so. She mean. She stand at the coffee and she tell everybody, why are you wearing it? Girl, you ain't got no class. How you going to tell somebody about some class? But see, that's why we don't have peace. And if it said follow peace with all men.
All men.
And then our scripture said, depart from evil and seek peace. Now, in verse number 15, going back to 34.
All right.
Going back to 34, the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. It says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. But here's what it says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And his ears are open unto their cry. And when it's talking about the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, it's saying that God sees you. Because God looks at everything, so don't misunderstand. God is looking at everybody. But when they talk about God's eyes on you, that means God sees what you're doing, and he will compliment and reward what you're doing. It's not that his eyes are, so the Lord ain't ignoring everybody else. Because there's no way for God to ignore everybody and judge them too. So when the scripture says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, it means that God sees you in a favorable way, and he's going to reward you and empower you and strengthen you and give you life.
Hallelujah.
Because you doing things righteously.
That's heavy.
So if you know that God is looking at you, you know. Because if God looked at us the way we are sometimes, as kids say, you looking stank. If God gave us that stank look, we'd all be dead.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I wanted to have the testimony that Jesus had. When the Spirit of God came down, when Jesus was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I'm seeking the pleasure of God. And if I'm going to have peace, I've got to remove judgment from my life. I got to build the inside of me, eliminate all that low self-esteem and all those other issues, and I got to get rid of the guilt. I've done some things. I got to make sure that I've confessed and make sure that I've repented. And to repent is to not only change, but change totally. So all those things to keep myself, and then I do what's necessary to build me. Never Paul said, not as that I've already attained. I don't feel that I've got it made now that I'm saved. Matter of fact, being saved is never an issue for me because I know that my trip to heaven is already down pat because I've given my life to Christ and I'm doing what's necessary. But what I do is to live daily striving in perfection, confessing day by day in every way that I'm getting stronger and stronger, righteous and righteous, loving and loving, powerful and powerful, wealthy and wealthy, healthy and healthy, each day. And I do those things that's necessary to propagate this confession. I check myself, and I use my family as my gauge about how I respond and how I treat them. Am I giving God the glory? Am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church? Am I not provoking my children to anger? Am I honoring God with the way I am? God gave me the responsibility to be a husband. And am I treating my wife as Christ loved the church? And when I get into the community, am I outstanding and upstanding? Do I meet somebody new every day? Do I talk to them not just trying to get to them? Some people think the only thing I got to say to you is to get you to love Christ. No, that's not it, because the Bible said train a child in the way he should go. The child is not just going to church. We don't have no problem with them in the church, but it's all the other stuff. Am I talking to people about the things in their lives?
All right.
Ain't no sense in witnessing to a man talking about you need Jesus and he needs food. Feed the man. Then he can have the stomach to sit down and listen to you.
All right.
Here's a woman that's suffering with family and stuff. You're talking about where Jesus will answer all those problems. See, that's where a lot of us get gone wrong. We made people believe that when they come to church that all their problems would be over. How many of you all know that that wasn't the truth?
Because
if that was the truth, I wouldn't have no problem, because I got saved when I was 10, and I got sanctified between now and then. All I know is the church. I don't know the streets.
All right.
And I'm over 50 now, so I've been saved more than 40 years. You mean, and all my troubles I've had have been since I've been saved. I have no troubles at 10. What kind of trouble you got? You don't get gym shoes you want? All the sins that I've committed were since 10. All the pain that I've suffered, the heartaches and the disappointments and the rejection, that was it. So to tell somebody that when you get Jesus, all your troubles are over, that's a lie. And that's why people get saved and walk away. We need to stop lying to people. But what I didn't know when I got saved, that when trouble come, I had the answer for the trouble. They didn't train me, and I didn't seek God enough to be mature enough to how to process trouble.
My God.
And how to confess the word and stand on the word and believe God and to not get anxious and have anxiety and not allow people to say things to you and push you to the side and not let the spirit of rejection get in you because you're still working trying to figure out who you were. So to have peace, and my conclusion is to have peace. You cannot have peace if you don't deal with these things. Number one, please God. Police yourself. Please God, police yourself and touch man in a godly way. You can't touch a person judging. You can't touch a person and despise them. Ooh. And if you have, when we talk about police yourself, get some self and sex control about it, and appetite control.
My
you know, most
God.
Of us are committing diet suicide. We eat ourselves to death in the name of the Lord. You need to find. You have to search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. Not just search the scriptures as far as salvation. What should I do? How should I eat? How should I live? How should I carry myself?
Ooh.
I know all of us, if we lost about 20, 30 pounds each, some of you all that need to lose weight, you would live better.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
telling you, through the grace of God and through my intention and every intention I have and through faith and walking with Christ,
ooh.
I'm going to live. And I don't have to say, if the Lord delay is coming. Most of you all should know
ooh.
That because ain't nobody trying to live around here and he coming to rapture people away and I just want to make 150, please. If he comes tomorrow, guess who's going to be going?
I will.
And another thing, and I'll say this and go back to relationship. I was talking to somebody about my wife, and I was talking about how I love, and she told me, well, and I said, this is the best thing that happened to me, or somebody. They said, well, what about the Lord? And this one time I almost got mad. I said, listen, I shouldn't have to qualify. I shouldn't have to qualify other than the Lord. God and my relationship, my natural relationship, my physical relationship with my wife has nothing to do with my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and God and my life being saved is life to me. My wife and my family is the love of my life. There's a difference. It's the joy of my life. So I don't have to qualify. It's just like a person saying, well, I'm glad who I am. Well, you better thank God you're a woman. Oh, you already see I'm a woman. What is this? Why do I have to qualify? You're a woman. I'm a man.
All right.
So, you know, let's live at peace and start building your peace with your relationship with God. And seek God. Ask God for peace. With relationship with people, if you get irritated at what somebody's saying or doing, even though it has no business, because a lot of people now say this, a lot of people talk about, I joked about preachers of New York, preachers of L.A. A lot of people comment and they're giving and they're making judgments about the brothers that's on there. That's them. That's their life.
That's their life.
They're not my pastor. And some of them are my friends. Some of them are my friends, but they're not. I wouldn't do it. It's not. In my opinion, it doesn't bring any glory to the Lord and show some light on the church.
That's
a reality
it.
That don't need to be. And it gives the enemy some talking points. And that's all it is.
Exactly.
But other than that, that's their business. They want to put their stuff out there. And you know what? The Rolls Royce I'm going to buy because I'm ahead of money. Ain't no church going to buy me no Rolls Royce. I'm going to buy it myself.
Right.
And I ain't going to feel bad. The mansion I'm going to live in, I ain't going to feel bad about it. You ain't got to come to my house, no way. I ain't going to broadcast about
right.
it. But what I will not do is put my message at hoc. Because I'm getting to the, I'm asking God to bless me because I'll preach to anybody. If the church
all
got two members, I'm coming.
Come on.
If they got five members, they got 500,
right
I'm going. Because if you live a life, and see, people don't understand, a lot of these brothers have been burned. Trying to come preach to them. I come preach, and they do all this, and then they, you know, I'll never forget. One time I was preaching for a guy, I brought my church, had the bus, and we went to this, I was pastoring in Chicago. We brought the bus down there and didn't even have gas to get there, but we did whatever we did. When we got there, he told me, well, I'm going to give you a fish sandwich and a cup of coffee. Man, you talk about I had the bite of my tongue. At the time, I was allergic to fish. And I didn't drink coffee because they told me coffee makes you black. So I was like, hey, I don't need no coffee. Give me a fish sandwich and a cup of coffee. Many of us have been burned. People don't hear that. Many of us have been burned. But see, I thank God. I ask God that you bless me so that I don't have to depend on them. But I will not go to a place as a preacher that they don't do something because everybody needs to sow into a ministry. Everybody needs to sow. If a man or woman bring a word, you need to give them something. I don't care if it's $5. You need to give them something. That's just the appropriate thing because then preachers be aware. I gave it back to them. The Lord ain't never told me to give nobody back no money. You know why I say that? And I'm done. Because when you sow a seed into me, if I throw it back at you, it's like the ground throwing back a seed. A seed thrown back in the bag will never bring a harvest.
All right.
You sow a seed, I'll take it. If I was going to send it back, I'll send it back at another time, but I won't send that seed back.
All right.
Because you need the seed so that you can get a harvest. And if I give the seed back, you'll never get a harvest from me.
Ooh.
God bless you, evangelist. Thank you. But remember, everybody, seek peace and pursue it. And you have to start with you, because you can't be peaceful. If you got all this disruption, dis-ease, all inside of you, you can't be at peace.
Hallelujah.
Some of us ain't got nothing to smile about because we can't smile. You say, well, you ought to be glad you're saved. The way you all talk about being saved, that's only my preparation for getting to heaven. Why? Now, here I am. I got saved when I was 10. I'm planning on living to 150. If that's the only value I got, that in those 140 years I'm going to live, that all I only value I have, that I'm going to heaven, shoot. That ain't nothing.
No.
God put us down here to be the light.
Yes.
And we need to shine. God bless you.
Wow. Great lesson today. Hallelujah. You know, you hear different things, and people have different perspectives. And just we had one of the apostles on earlier, Bishop, this week, and he was saying that God was peace, and the only way you can have peace is through God. And God always confirmed his word now on the day and yesterday, same thing. Peace. How are we going to have peace if we're not living a life as unto God? You know, there is no peace in the world. The Bible says that there is no peace in the world. So I enjoyed this lesson today, peace, and you may see some quotes. I write down the different quotes as the messages is going forward, and I posted something on there about, you know, we reading the posts of other folks every day, but when do we pick up this Bible? And there's quotes from Genesis to Revelation in God's Word. But again, we are lovers of pleasure, and that's what Paul was writing in the book of Timothy, that men, we are lovers of pleasure. You know, and you just mentioned some things, even, you know, we start preparing for the football games, you know, and men, it's not men only. Well, they have some women who have football, and they're not going to stay at church no more than an hour and a half, and they're going to leave out before the service ends because they're going to prep themselves for Sunday football. Oh, but when trouble comes, people of God, we better get back and get focused, and let's go back to the old landmark. I'm glad about old school. I'm happy about it because guess what? It puts something in me, because when the evil day approach, if you don't have nothing inside of you, Bishop said we got conflict and we got dis-ease, not disease, but dis-ease. We're tormented. And there's no peace in our lives because we have not made peace with God. He said peace is a lifestyle. And that lifestyle has to be of God. It has to be with God. He also said we need an intimate relationship with God. Then the peace surpasses you. Oh, glory to God. You said so much today, I tell you. Peace. And we see there's rumors. The Bible said when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, we see shutdown in the government. We see all kind of things happening that we've never experienced in our life. And even, you know, going through the Great Depression, I wasn't alive during the Great Depression, but I feel like we're living in it. We're experiencing it. And that's why we have to connect. That's why we have to give our lives to the Lord. That's why we got to quit judging folks and work on you. The Bible says work out your own you salvation. You got to work on you, because all of this other stuff is going to continue. You got to make sure that your place with God is safe. You got to make sure that you groom and teach and train your children. Bishop said he want to live so he gets to 150 years. That's good. Hallelujah. But in the midst of that, he also spoke about how his family is the joy of his life. We're putting everything before family. We're putting everything before God. You know, we going to get ourselves together, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. God ain't nowhere in the equation. Oh, but when trouble finds us, when it knocks at our door, we want everybody to rise and listen to what has befallen us. People of God, if there ever was a time that we need to seek peace, and the Bible says not only seek it, he says seek peace and so he's telling you to add to, after you sought that peace, then you got to do some more. Then he said pursue it. After you find it, then you got to keep on running after it hard. You just can't get comfortable and say, oh, I found peace. Well, you found it. Now you have to make sure that you're able to maintain it. Hallelujah. Keep it. Is it valuable to you? Lord Bishop, you have taught this thing today. I tell, hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We don't have a lot of people on the line. I think we got about 8 or 9 callers still on the line. So I'm going to ask Sister Ruby if there's any questions. I did have a question before we go to our callers, and that was Bishop. I wrote this thing now. You said there were 3 aspects of peace: peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with man. Now,
that's right.
How do you find peace with man when, I'll take for, just give you a scenario, when the Bible says, just say you have naught against your brother, and you know there's an ought there, you know there's a problem there, and instead of us coming to one another, then we take it to the pastor. That's not scriptural, but that's what we find ourselves doing. And then the conflict continues as we're fellowshipping with one another. So how do you resolve it if you've done what the Bible says, and then there's still no resolution? How do you find peace with man, peace with your brother?
Well, the peace has to be within. Just because you're going to keep mess going with me don't mean I have to let it keep going on my end. If I've done what I need to do as far as handling this issue, and then some people go to pastor before they go to the brother, and then you got to depend on if the brother is going to be able to say, take somebody with you before you go to the brother. So if you take somebody with you, but most of us don't want nobody to know and how you tell somebody, so they go to the pastor first. Now, what the pastor's job, and I'm trying to say, the pastor's job would be to bring those parties together if there's a problem. Now, once you bring those parties together, then there's still a conflict. Then you got to deal with it from a pastoral point. But some people, the Bible does say take it to your brother. It says, if you can't take it to your brother, now, if you don't feel safe, or you don't feel not necessarily safe, but you feel that there's going to be a conflict, then bring somebody with you. Scripture goes in the category, bring somebody with you, and then take it to the church. When they're talking about taking it to the church, it's talking about to the elders. So that somebody could very well be the pastor and take that pastor and get that pastor to do it. So, you know, you just have to know who you're dealing with and what's going on. But my peace is within me. Mm-hmm. You may not like me. You may try to treat me bad. I have peace because I have no judgment on you. I've resolved the issues, I've forgiven you, and I've let it go. And if I need to say something, if I need to apologize or whatever, or repent for something, I do that. I mean.
Okay.
I can't really deal with your issues once I've resolved the issue. Now, if the issue is a result of something I've done, once I've done what I need to do, then all I can do is let it go.
Okay. Now, you did say something also. You said we don't confess, we suppress. So, you know,
right.
you have some conflict with another party or there's some conflict going on, but you never confess that thing and never try to get it together. And then we still just, you know, we come and fellowship and we're still, we're, you know, how can a person grow if they've never confessed that thing and it's just, it's suppressed? And many times that suppression causes conflict. It causes you to have a different mindset, but then we just come out of a sense of showing up then.
Right. But well, it makes sense. See, you have to confess and deal with stuff. Most of us suppress it because we just don't want to deal with it. But it stays inside of you and it eats like a cancer. And you can say this as a, how do I know if I forgive somebody? That when I see them, I have no effect based upon what happened that I've forgiven them for.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see you and they don't come to my mind, oh, she even said this about me, then I still get upset and all that, and I'm walking around, then I have not forgiven you and I have not dealt with it. You need to deal with things so that it can be, you need to deal instead of eternalize it, because things that you eternalize is going to be like a ball that's built up inside of you. And at some point, it's going to burst. And it may burst in the form of a heart attack, burst in the form of anger, a bounce with anger, depression, and all of that. You mentioned something about going through, you didn't go through the Great Depression, but we have a greater depression because it's inward depression. We're depressed because of these things. You're depressed because of the things you you suppress. If you eliminate these things, deal with them in God, go to the person that deals with it and deal with the issue, then you free yourself. As long as I hold on to it, I'm going to be depressed. I'm suppressing. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to have issues. And I try to shout all over. We've been for shouting all over and praise the Lord all over, singing all over, faking it, showing up at the thing, and you really don't like them. You really got a problem with it. You never dealt with it. We do that all the time, and then we feel that's why we don't have peace. And there's no way to have peace when you have disruption on the inside of you, holding on to certain things. And that's what caused bitterness, resentment, anger, hurt. And even though things have happened to you, because see, here's what the saints ought to feel. The scripture said all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord, whether it's abuse or whatever. God said he's going to get, he didn't do it, but he's going to get involved. So he's going to make it for your good. If God has taken those bad things that happened to you, the tragedies and stuff that happened to you, and make them good, you won't see the good because you're still holding on to them. You're still crying about them, you're still about them and all of those things. But if you need to take the mindset, like I put a posting out there, you know, I'm thanking God for all the things that happened to me because now I'm changing my perspective. Whatever has happened to me is for my good, so now it's good for me. So why should I be upset about something that's working for my good? But that's only if you love the Lord and the call. So why should I still be upset with you? People have done things to me. I can look at you and smile and say, good to see you, whatever. I'm not upset anymore because you just benefited me by treating me bad. It's all in your perspective, how you change things. If it worked for the good, then it's good that you did this to me. Your intention, like Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
And if you realize that God meant it for good, how can you be bitter for something that's good for you? I'm going to be mad at you because when I come to California, you're going to sow $100,000 in my life. Why would I be mad at you? She's going to come give me $100,000.
Thank you, Jesus. God, I bless you.
So why should I be upset if what you do to me is going to make some good, make me out to something good? So thank everybody that have hurt me, lied on me, called me out of my name and everything. Thank you. Those that betrayed me, thank you. Because now I'll be the person that God has called me to be, and it's some good for it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this was a heavy lesson. We need more teaching of this sort. we need more teaching. And, you know, it's good to get a school special every now and then, but we need more teaching than anything, And because after the jump and the shout is over, we if we haven't received the word that has been preached and taught, then we leave the same way we came in, and there's no change. And God said his word would not go out and return unto him void. So it's going to change and help somebody. But you have to be the one to say, I'm going to receive this. And it starts with, everything starts with us, Bishop. We can't allow what somebody else does to affect our lives, our everyday lives, and we hold on to this thing, and what it does is it's killing us. And the other party going on about their business. They know they did me wrong. How could they be jumping and shouting easy? Because guess what? They don't have you on their mind. They're moving
That's
on.
Right.
Hallelujah.
And see, the truth of the matter.
She just done me wrong. And she over there shouting and praising the Lord. And heaven came and apologized to me. Well, that's on her and God. You didn't make no effort to go and apologize either, so. Glory, we still got so much. Anybody else have any questions today of Bishop Patterson? They can do so at this time. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
Oh, God bless everybody. We're going to Evangelist Cummings. Your line is open.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
I enjoyed
listening today. Seek peace and pursue it. And I want to hold on to that peace of God. I want to hold on to it. I enjoyed you so much. And God bless you, Evangelist. And God bless you, Sister Ruby. And all those that are listening in today on the radio, God bless you. The Lord is blessing me, and I'm doing better.
That's wonderful.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. That's a blessing. Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice. Okay, don't seem like it. Sister Albertine.
Praise the Lord, Saint. Praise the Lord, Sister Ruby. That word was really right on time and what I needed to hear because I have been dealing with some things. And I prayed on some things, and the Lord revealed some things to me that I had to let go. And what I understand from this word is just having peace. And when you're in a certain situation, it could be a relationship, friendship, so have you. You wonder why you love that person, you care for that person, but there's just no peace. So as I began to pray and God began to reveal things to me, I can understand why there was no peace. Because sometimes it's not about what we want, but it's about what God has for us, and he knows what's best for us. And I think that's one of the most difficult things in finding peace is because what we want so badly. But yet we pray and we ask God to reveal the truth to us, and once we see it, we ignore it. And then we wonder why we have no peace. We wonder why we have no peace. And I'm learning in this stage of my life to really trust God, really seek God's word, believe God's word, and receive God's word. And when he tells me to do something, I've just been trying my best to be obedient. Because the flesh is no joke. But the spirit always prevails. And I know that when you trust God, no matter how much you cry and kick and scream and pout, but after all that, when you realize when you trust God and he begins to reveal and show you why, then you begin to fall to your knees and thank him. And that's my thank you, because it was just confirmation on some things I have been praying about and crying just earlier about. I couldn't understand. But now I have better in and a little bit clearer understanding as to why. And I just thank God. And it's okay. I'll get over it. But I'll have to. So thank you. And God bless you.
Well, bless you. I tell you, anything that we're experiencing, God will, if we would ask God, he would show us what we need to do. And every day that each of us need to be praying, Lord, what will you have me to do? And in, when a situation come up that you seem like it disrupts you and you got to make a decision, ask God. Because if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give those things to them that ask? And God is interested in benefiting your life. And if you would, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear. So if you would tune yourself in and make yourself a daily readiness to hear God, he would tell you every situation, every circumstance. He would deal with you because you ask of him, and he wants you to be okay. God don't want you to be manipulated. He don't want women abused in relationships. He don't want them marrying the wrong person. He don't want their children to misuse them. He don't want you to be disrespectful. God will tell you how to deal with everything. But the problem that we don't have peace is many of us, we exclude God in our decisions, and we try to force him to come and sanctify. We still have that Cain syndrome. We want to give God what we want him to have and then get mad because he don't like it. So, you know, may the Lord bless each of us to have peace. You know, we're at this point in our life, we need peace. And I love the analogy where the evangelist talked about old school. There's a lot of things about old school, but you know what? God really wants us to get into the now school. And there's some things God's showing us that our forefathers didn't get it. We need the now school. I need a lesson every day. And see, there's a lesson in everything that you go through now. I need that now school. I need to stay in school and be in school now. But I can't go on with my forefathers. Because you know what I found out, evangelist? Some of them dudes was preaching us some stuff that wasn't God. They weren't trying to get us to sin, but they didn't get us to know God like we should. So I need that. I'm going to use now. Give me now school. Lord, show me now. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy spouse.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Teach me today how to respond. If I respond like my mother did, she'd slap me upside the head. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to respond like that.
She didn't kill you, so hallelujah.
She didn't kill me, but if she hit me today, she'd have went to jail like some of them doing now. Our parents would have been in jail if they'd have beat us like these children. Now they call the police now.
Granny, you're going to jail. I said, oh, well, it's okay.
That's right. You better not be in this house when I come out. You better tell the police have a place for you to live. Yeah.
Amen. We're going to Liberal Democrat. Liberal Democrat.
Jalon
is Liberal Democrat.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can y'all hear me?
Lord, yes.
Amen. Amen. I still got an echo on my end, but hallelujah anyhow. Amen. That was a good word, brother preacher. Amen.
I was writing
stuff down in here. This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, you know, about beating people up. But, you know, like the man of God was talking about how we beat ourselves up with our tongues. And he was talking about peace. So talking about domestic violence, you know, we can have more peace if we stop beating ourselves up by speaking that mess over ourselves. Amen. When Brother Preacher said that about our tongues and, like, how we speak over ourselves and whatnot, I was writing that down. Amen. So I received that. It's like, is this glass half full or is it half empty? It's how we speak over ourselves, you know. So, amen. I'm receiving that. And then about how he said witnessing, he said you can't, you know, we used to say you can't skin a fish before you catch it. Amen. He was talking about how to witness to folks. So I was getting a hallelujah happy over here. So he preached that thing. So, amen. You know, God bless us, remind us how we're supposed to witness to people. Show love. Amen. And I beat them up because, like, when I first got saved, I came home telling everybody it was going to hell, you know. And mom and daddy, you know, I was all disrespectful with it, you know. But praise God, you know, God, there's a way to talk to folks. Amen. So, amen, brother preacher. Praise God for reminding us of that. And this was a good word. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. And if your glass is half full, put some more in it.
make it full.
Yes, sir. Bottom line, put some more in. Many people say it's half full or half empty. If it's got, put some more in. Just add something to it. That's all. You can have a full glass.
Right.
Each of us can have a full glass.
Amen.
And the church really have done a lot of violence. And when we use the scripture, violence, take it by force. That ain't what you're talking about, taking the world and throwing people away and sending them to hell. We do a lot of domestic violence because we're supposed to be light. And we go out and we destroy the church. So this domestic violence, I know they're talking about something else, but the church is victims of domestic violence because we go in there and turn the world upside down, beat them all upside the head and run them away. And then we scare a lot of people into being saved, but then after that fear factor is gone, they're going back out there and doing what they're doing.
I know about that.
So bless you. Bless you. Keep on, and God bless, and may we have peace, and may we forgive those that have abused us, and may we not hold grudges, but may we also stand firm and strong, and we don't have to take nothing. I'm not going. My wife told me before we got married, I ain't taking no whipping.
All right.
And I said, I ain't giving one, and I ain't taking one either, because now the women are beating the men.
That's right.
So I ain't taking no whipping either, so we settled that early on. You know? you're gonna hit me upside my head.
Yeah.
So, amen.
Amen.
Wow.
We got Sister Patrice.
Amen.
He's not answering, so that's the sum of that's on the line. Right about now, and, it was a blessing.
It was a blessing.
Why is that? Do you hear that? Okay. That's the strangest. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, a double thing in here, I imagine. But anyway, the word came forth, the airways. We praying over the airways that we got the word because it was. Oh, voice here. But I just thank the Lord.
I just thank the Lord.
Bishop Patterson, the word.
Yes.
The word.
It was a teaching experience for my heart and spirit and mind and soul. Only way we're going to get it right
is
Jesus and let him fix it. So I strengthen the Lord and it's just, I think Bishop, okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bishop Davis.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Your line is open.
Praise God. God bless you. How are you today?
Wonderful.
God is good. God is good. I didn't get a chance to hear the message, but we believe that God accomplished everything that he desired to do.
Amen. Amen.
In the hearts and in the minds of the people. I know that yesterday there was a powerful anointing on the program, and I know that God is the God of peace.
Yeah.
And we believe, according to the scriptures, that peace has to be your umpire. In every decision you make and everything that you do and every direction that you go in, I learned one thing in life. If there's no peace, there's no God there.
God, preaching, good things preaching there. Confirmation, Bishop Patterson.
That's right, that's right.
Hallelujah.
What I found over the years with folks that name the Christian, sometimes they try to force the hand. They try to force the issue. They're not focused on the peace of God. What they're focused on is their plan or their program or their own desire. The Bible says when we're drawn away or tempted, we're drawn away because of our own lust. That's a desire. So when we're drawn away of our own desire, we are ignoring the peace of God.
My God. Okay.
Literally, we ignore the peace of God because there's a desire or an agenda in our heart, and that one's fulfilling that agenda. And then when it don't work out, we go back to God and say, oh, God, what happened? And God said, well, I was already saying, you're the one walked away.
Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God.
So,
well, amen.
So if we're sensitive, now peace is a very interesting thing. The Bible says he lead us to the still waters. The peace of God is like still waters.
I like that.
And that means you got to still yourself. Be still and know that he's God. When you still yourself, that's when you can discern the peace. But when you're in a hurry or anxious, that's what the Bible says, be anxious about nothing. But everything, not prayer and prayer, be made known unto God. You've got to steal yourself in order to discern the peace of God.
Amen.
You can't discern the peace of God until you first be still.
All right.
My God, from heaven. So I just wanted to add that in as a footnote. Glory to God. Bishop, I'm sure you did a marvelous job. But it's really true how to find God's peace. You can't find it until you first be still.
Yes.
You can't find God's peace rushing. You can't find God's peace being in a hurry. When you read the New Testament, you never see Jesus in a hurry. You never see him running.
Amen, amen. Well,
my
we
God,
thank so. God for that, Prophet Davis. We certainly thank God for that. When this should come out here, we're going to have a reunion of all of us here on the West Coast. Amen, amen. So we just thank God. This is Prophet Michael Davis, Bishop Patterson. He's one of our speakers, one of the men of God that labors on this broadcast with us, and we are just so thankful for the men and God that make the sacrifice to come on this line. And truly, our hearts have been blessed today listening to this word today. And as your final thought, you said, please, God, please yourself and touch man in a godly way. Just that alone is enough. So we're going to go back to Bishop Patterson. And Bishop Patterson, I just love you and appreciate you and appreciate the relationship and love your family. It's like you all been in my life, my whole life. That's the kind of spirit you have. And we just thank God for having to know such a one as yourself, and I tell you, I'm just humbled to be able to experience the love that the men and women of God have for the people of God. And you know, we know that we can't beat people into being saved. We can't take a rod and knock them over their head and make them stay. We can't do any of that. But we have to do as Jesus said, with love have I drawn you. So we thank God for you, Bishop Patterson. We're going to have you to close out with the final comments and any prayer that you'd like to dismiss us with in any final remarks. We thank God for you.
Sounds good. Well, thank you again, and I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this great ministry and this great opportunity. And remember, peace is so important. David was a great man, but he couldn't build the temple because he had war and contention on his hand. He killed so many people. The Lord chose Solomon because there was a time of peace. A lot of times we're doing things and there's contention. Whenever there's contention in church, in a meeting, in whether it's Sunday school or whatever department, you block out the flow of the anointing. Let's make sure that our life is filled with peace, that we won't block out the flow of the anointing. When you go in the store, when you feel, and your emotions will tell you if something is coming up to disturb the peace. When you get irritated and all that, that ain't nothing but those peace worms trying to get inside of you. Draw on the peace of God and rely yourself and work on you, that these things won't irritate you anymore. And may God give us peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for being given us your word that we may share and experience peace on a deep level. Lord, in our lives there's been conflict. There are things that's going on in our lives, and eliminate the dis-ease from our consciousness and from our experiences in life. Let us be peace seekers. Let us pursue it in every aspect of our lives, every day, in the home, in our relationships, in our worship. Let us make sure that and ensure that we have peace, because you're the God of peace. Help us, sanctify us, and strengthen us. And grace us now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you with the love of God. Tomorrow, stay tuned, Prophetess Cheryl Harrison of Elk Grove, California, will be ministering for us tomorrow. If you've never had an opportunity to hear this wonderful woman of God, I tell you, you need to tune in. Tune in early. Amen.
Right.
Tomorrow, Prophetess Cheryl Harrison. So God bless you, Bishop. We love you. Sister Ruby, you can take us on our water song. Have a beautiful day, everybody. God bless you, Liberal Democrat.
Amen. We're going to go out with Let the Church Say Amen. That was a word today.
I want to introduce to you right now a close friend of God. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of songs in the world.
Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m.